Let's pray the song we just heard. Father in heaven, Lord, as Tina just sang, Lord, worship is so much more than a song. Father, I pray for myself. I pray for all of those that are in this room today. Father, that whatever it is that is in our life, that is in the way of you, Lord, I pray that you would clear our stage. Father, if there's any idols in our life, Lord, anything that we put before you, anything, Lord, that we want more than you, anything, Lord, that takes up our thoughts, anything, Lord, that we love more than you, Father, I pray that you would convict our hearts so we may repent. Father, all we do, whether it's a song, whether it's anything that we do in our own flesh, in our own understanding, in our own strength, Father, falls short of you. And I pray, Lord, today that you would cultivate our hearts to prepare us, Lord, for the work that you want to do in our lives. Father, as we heard from Patsy's testimony today, Lord, I pray that, Lord, you'd help us move from head knowledge and move more to a heart relationship with you. Thank you for being a God who is willing, who is waiting, who is merciful, who says, knock and I will open, seek and you will find. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. Open up our eyes and our ears, I pray, that as we look at your word, in Jesus' name, amen. I read a story this last week by John Piper, and he said that aimlessness is akin to lifelessness. I'll say that again. Maybe some of you feel that way, that aimlessness is akin to lifelessness. And he said, consider the dead leaves in your backyard. The dead leaves in the backyard, they move around more than anything else, more than the dog, more than the children. But the dead leaves and the wind, they are constantly moving. When the wind blows that way, well, they go that way. When the wind goes this way, they go this way. You've seen them skip, you've seen them bounce, I've even seen them twirl. But all that motion from dead leaves is empty of all life. Regardless of how much they move, regardless of how much the wind makes them dance. Again, they're full of motion, but they are void of life. Today, as we look at Scripture, God did not create humans in His image for us to be aimless. Jesus Christ did not establish His church so we would be aimless. And to be aimless like the lifeless leaves in the backyard of life. He has created us to be purposeful, to have a focus and to have an aim for all the days of our life. And so as we go through today and as we reflect on that which we've already experienced this morning, what is your aim? What is your aim? If you'll join me in Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2, at the end of the chapter, verses 19, we're going to read through 22. Let's pray as we open up the Word of God. Father in heaven, Lord, as we enter your word, again, I pray for eyes to see and ears to hear. Lord, that you would do a work in our life, Lord, where we are aimless. Or if we are aimed in the wrong direction, Lord, I pray that you would bring clarity to our lives, Lord, about your purposes and the purpose you have for us. Lord, as your followers, Lord, as your word calls us saints, Lord, for those of us that maybe are struggling with who you are in our lives and how we should live according to that. Lord, guide us today. Answer our hearts' questions today and in the days to follow. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's read verses 19. We're in Ephesians 2, verses 19 through 22. And Paul is writing to the church here, and he's talking about how about life in Christ. He has talked about where it's not about Jewish, it's not about Gentiles, it's not about different things. He's talking about who we are as Christians, as the church. And in verse 19 it says, "So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints." Do you hear that? You're no longer strangers or aliens if you're a follower of Christ. He says, "But you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit." Wow, what a passage here. This passage is about our relationship with God and how God sees us here. And the whole thought of he sees us as citizens, as fellow citizens of the saints. He equates us with the saints, and we see in other places in Scripture where we are literally called saints. Wow, that's an expectation. But then it calls us a part of God's household. Now, often in our culture, we refer to the building and buildings like this as God's house, but the reality that we see in this passage is that we, the people, are seen as God's house. God is not interested in this building. God is interested in us, in you, in us together. It is the individuals coming together as God's church is the place where God dwells, and where he dwells, his love dwells, his character dwells, his spirit dwells. And where there's unity in that, then the world can see the love of God and experience the lordship of Jesus Christ. We are the window. We are the what God has established for the purpose of spreading his gospel. The gospel is for us. The gospel is in us. And as such, God is in us. Not this building. You are the household. We are the household. And as we live, or as we leave here, I promise you, God doesn't stay here. No, he goes with each one of us as we leave. And we see God is building his household. It says that we are citizens in heaven. That's exciting. We've heard maybe the eternal life. It's already, but not yet. It's already because we have been justified through faith in Jesus Christ, but it is not yet because we're not finished in being sanctified. There's still work to do. We've never arrived until we are in heaven and whatever that looks like. But with that citizenship comes responsibilities. We have rights, we have privileges, but we have responsibilities. We have purpose. You have a purpose. I have a purpose. We together have a purpose. And we can start out 2017 in this purposeful way and not aimless. Imagine that. Us together united with a purpose. And if you're following along and you're listening, our outline today, we're going to talk about a few of these steps. You may have heard these already, but first, the first thing that we can do in not being aimless and living aimless lives, but living a purposeful life, is first of all, step up and be counted. We see in this passage that being a follower of Christ, being a disciple of Christ, it is not passive. It is something that is active. It is built. We saw in verse 20 that its foundation is on the apostles and the prophets. What does that mean? It means the foundation of who we are as followers of Christ and who we are as a church. It is built on the Word of God. Remember, at this time, they didn't have the Bible. They couldn't go down to Lifeway and buy a scripture or wherever you would buy your Bibles today. But they didn't have that. What did they have? They had the prophets. They had the scrolls of the prophets. They had the apostles. They had their letters. They had their teachings that they would spread, and the elders of the church they would learn, and they would go and share it with other people. That was being passed on. That is the foundation. And we see as we read the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation that it is not passive whatsoever. It is very active. And we see that step up and be counted among the people who are active, who are founded on the apostles and the prophet. And we see Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone, that which sets the direction. Jesus is our way. We see throughout Scripture, whether we look in Psalms, whether we look in Matthew, John, Revelations, any other Scriptures, we see it throughout about those who seek Him. Oh, it's a faith that when we seek the Lord, He is found faithful. He is found faithful that He will do a work in us and through us, answer any question, come against any, or come or present Himself in any challenge that we may present to Him, as you've already heard. But He is a God who can be found faithful for those people who seek Him. How do we passively, as disciples, as followers of Christ, as members of this church, have you ever considered yourself as being a citizen of heaven? Have you ever considered the responsibilities that we find throughout Scripture? Worship, as Tina just sang, is so much more than a song. Worship is obedience to the theology that we do sing, and it's obedience to the Word of God on which we are built. Are you a citizen of heaven? That means that you have come to believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, and that you are not just believing Him, but you live under the Lordship of Christ, to where He leads and guides your day. That doesn't mean you're perfect. Oh, none of us are perfect. That's why it is not yet that we just mentioned, because we have yet to be glorified. We have yet to go to heaven, and it is on that day that we will be perfect, not today. But are you a citizen of heaven? Do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Today, I would encourage you to seek God and step up and be counted among the citizens of heaven. And next, individually, you hear me pray that, and for years now, you hear me go back and forth to that, both individually and corporately. Because as we just read here, we see that God is building His temple. He's building His household. He says that we are among them, and we see the example here of bricks. We are like a brick. Now, a brick by itself is worth what? A paperweight. But bricks put together, they're functional. They build things. And the church, in the same way, we are only as strong as the individuals who comprise us. The church, I'll say that again, the church as a whole, as the household of God, is only as strong as the individuals, as the bricks that comprise the church. Are you being counted in your personal worship? I'm not talking about standing up here and Rhonda leading us in song, and she leads something that's contemporary, and the young folks light up, and she sings something that's kind of ancient, and then the older folks light up. And isn't that true? It really is. Do you know when we worship according to our preference, we just made that worship song an idol. I'm unable to worship because that song just doesn't speak to me. You just made it about you. and we've just made it an idol. Are you individually, though, are you in the Word? Are you in prayer? Are you seeking God in the purpose that He has for you? Are you aware of your spiritual gift? Friends, are there days that pass? Are there days that pass that you have no thought of God whatsoever? I mean, think about it. Not just Sundays and Wednesdays, but are there days, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, maybe Saturday? Well, no, you're thinking about what you're going to wear tomorrow or if you're going to go or not. But are there days that pass where you do not consider the things of God for the whole day? I would encourage you to pray, to seek Him, to step up and be counted among the citizens of God's household, that individually in your personal worship. I tell you, if you're only worshiping here, you're missing out. You will not grow. You will not be the follower of Christ, the citizen of heaven that God wants from you. There is no way that this time here on Sunday mornings or on Wednesday nights, if you come up to both every week, there is no way that will be enough to sustain you to do the things that God wants you to do. There must be a personal hunger, a personal worship, a personal time that you are seeking God. I encourage you to be counted among the responsible citizens of heaven that are seeking God all the time. Are you going to miss days in the Word? Of course you are. There's days that I miss, whether I wake up late, got to take the kids early to church or to school or something, and things just don't come together. But you still consider God in some way each and every day. Next here is, I encourage you again to be step up and be counted among the citizens through faith, through salvation. I'm praying that God would draw you in that way, and individually in your worship, but also as we talked about in our state of worship, our state of the church, and I mentioned last Sunday that we noticed in the state of the church that 54% of our congregation are members and 46% are not. But why is that important? Is it because of 501c3? Well, who cares about 501c3 except for the IRS and Ron, because he's the administrator. But the reality throughout Scripture, we see that there's a commitment to a body with a leader. There's accountability. It is functional. A few verses there, we see that leaders, pastors, elders, are clearly, they are commanded to care for a specific group of people. We see that in, if you write it down, Hebrews 13:17. We're not going to go there. Hebrews 13:17, Ezekiel 34:1-6. We see that there is a clear relationship of the pastor to a certain group of people. As a pastor, I'm not accountable or responsible for those down that street or over there. But for this group, there is a committed group of people that the leadership is responsible for. We see in that same passage of Hebrews 13:17 that Christians are clearly commanded to follow, to submit to, and to honor specific church leaders. So there's that relationship of leader to group of people and group of people to leaders. We see that Hebrews 13:17, looking up. We see in 1 Corinthians 5:1-12 that there's an accountability that is clearly there through a covenant community of faith. Again, not of everybody throughout, but there is a local body. And we see in Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12, we see that Christians are clearly individuals who are called to exist and work as one body. And then we just see all these together, and there's more things too, but that Christians are clearly instructed to belong to and to be a part of a local body of believers. And I encourage you to step up and be counted among our church if you worship with us in 2017. I tell you, God created you to belong to Him, and to belong to a body. And it's scripturally clear. And I encourage you, all of you, to be faithful. All of us to be faithful. Those who are counted among, to be counted faithful in the things that you proclaim, the things that you say that you are. We are like bricks. Jesus Christ. He didn't call us bricks. He gives us an illustration of being built into a temple. Some of you, if you've had a rough coach, you may have been called a brick before. But we see that he says that we're bricks because we have a part. A brick by itself, again, is nothing, but it built into a wall, it is something. But when you have a brick that is missing, that means that wall is growing weaker and weaker. I encourage us to be counted. Step up and be counted in however the Holy Spirit is leading you to be counted. But don't merely stop there. We see in verse 21, we see the word growing. So our number two, if you're following along, is step up and grow. This word in the Greek, it means that, to grow. But it means to grow. It means to increase in size. But it also grow in your maturity, and then to grow in that, and also to spread. It's the key word that we find in discipleship. It is a thing that God requires of us. Again, it is not a passive faith that we have. It is an active faith. There is nothing that we find passive except for like things of revenge. And that is not passive, that is active. You have ever wanted to revenge somebody, you have to pray for the enemy? That's active. But we see that God requires a nonstop progress. That means a development, a growth in the life of our faith. I encourage you to step up and be counted. I encourage you to step up and grow. And we see in what? Number one, if you're following an A, is spiritual maturity. We grow together. We grow together. And follow me and just turn the page. It's not going to be on the board, but Ephesians 4. We're going to go to Acts 2 in just a minute, and it's not going to be on the board. Now, what I'm interested in is 14 through 16, but I need to read 11 through 13 to give context to the other three. So we're going to read Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. And it says, and he gave, Paul is talking here, he's talking about some spiritual gifts here, about unity and the Spirit, but here it says, and he being God, gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the equipping of the saints. That means the church is being equipped in this way. It says equipped for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ until we attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man and to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. And so all that say, verse 14, that says, as a result of that, as God putting those people, as God equipping us, as God working through each of us through our works of service, he says, as a result, we are no longer to be children. He's writing this to the church of God. He says, we're no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love. Listen to here, it says we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, that means all of us, causes the growth of the body for the building of itself in love. Well, we see another example that there's the equipping of the church for the purpose of us growing. That we shouldn't be in 2017 like we were in 2016. There should be progress. There should be growth. We do not live a passive faith. We do not serve a passive God, but we serve an active God who's got purpose, and he's got things that he wants to do in our lives. Part of that is growing up to spiritual maturity. Oh, we need to step up and grow. We also Well, mature and grow into what? Well, what did we just read? We read in Ephesians 2 to grow up to the foundation of Christ, who is the cornerstone, to the head of the church, which is Christ. We are being formed into the image of Christ. It's called sanctification, and that's what we see here. And then next we're going to spiritually grow. We're going to grow into spiritual maturity, and the next we grow in devotion. Grow in devotion. That's 2B if you're following along. But with this word devotion, it means commitment. It means loyalty. Not just to the church, but loyalty first to God. I tell you what, if we're not loyal to God first, if we're not loyal to God in our private worship, then as far as the church goes, your loyalty is only skin deep. We're loyal to God first, and then we are loyal to the church, to one another, to loyal to God's word, to live it, to be it, because we are the window to the world in which God moves and God dwells. We just saw in that passage that we are being built into this temple of the Holy Spirit. We are being built into the temple with a place where God dwells. And so the church is doing the work of God in this world. And when we fail the world, the word, which we will, we do, we struggle, we are to repent of it. And it's part of being devoted. Again, not perfect. Oh, I would love to be perfect. I don't know if y'all know this or not, but your pastor isn't perfect. Well, y'all just saw that a few minutes ago. But our devotion, we miss in the American church. We see very little commitment. We see very little loyalty. And again, that loyalty to God and loyalty to one another. But we are called to grow in spiritual devotion. The cornerstone. Why is Christ called the cornerstone? Because he's immovable, and then he gives direction to the bricks that are being built. And guess what? Bricks, when they're together, they're immovable. And the direction that we see because of the cornerstone is Christ. Turn, if you will, with me in Acts 2. Again, it's not going to be on the board. You're going to have to open up your Bibles. Acts 2, or if you will, or mark it down, write it down, however you'd like to do. Acts 2. We're familiar with this passage. Acts 2, 42. Remember what has happened here is the Holy Spirit has moved, and Peter has shared the gospel for the first time, and this is the birthday of the church, I guess we could call that. But in verse 42, what has happened here, he's shared the gospel, 3,000 were saved, the church is born, and it says, and they, that is the church, that is the 3,000 souls that had been saved, had responded to the drawing of the Holy Spirit, and it says, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. Again, what is that? Is it that they were devoting themselves to the apostles? Were they devoting themselves to the fellowship? No, to the apostles' teaching. Again, that is the word of God. We can't become devoted to an organization. We can't be devoted to a thought. We can't be devoted to a pastor or to a Sunday school teacher or to friends in the church. We must be devoted to God and devoted to God's word. That's what the apostles were teaching. Again, as we just read, they did not have the Bible in the form that we have it today. And so the apostles' teaching was the word, and what we have in this today is the apostles' teaching and is the prophets. They were devoting themselves to God's word and then into fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. There was, again, that word devoted there. It is that of loyalty. It is that of they were committing themselves. Their lives were different. Oh, we have to step up and grow. We have to step up in our devotion. What was the result? We've studied this passage before. We won't go into that today. But the result was evangelism. We see in the last passage of this chapter is that the church was growing. Why? Because they were sharing the gospel. They're sharing their testimony, much like Patsy just did just a little while ago. And then from that evangelism, it wasn't just, hey, just now you're saved, come and sit in our groups on Sunday. No, there was a discipleship. There was a life-on-life growing in spiritual maturity and growing in what? What was the focus of that? The God's Word. And we see a growing church. And then there was worship. Again, it wasn't just a song. The worship was the obedience to God's word. And then we see that there was fellowship. And this is so much more than a pizza social. This is koinonia. This is oneness. Being counted on one another-ness. And then we see that there was service. People serving according to the ministry that God put in their lives. We see there's a result in loyalty. And then we see the Holy Spirit doing a great work. From this, we get our vision. It's a good day to read our vision. Our vision for our church is that every member of our congregation to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. We define a disciple as someone who is called to live through Jesus, equipped to love like Jesus, and sent to work for Jesus. That sounds like a cool statement, but it's the real deal. That's our goal. That's our vision. And we're not going to quit until we're all fulfilled. We fulfill that. And then when we fulfill that, then we have our mission. We cannot complete our mission without fulfilling our vision. And the mission of Perdita Bay Baptist Church is to make disciples by giving all people within the reach of our congregation the opportunity to hear and respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Folks, the Salvation Army is not equipped or are not responsible for sharing the gospel. The goodwill is not responsible for sharing the gospel. The welfare office is not responsible for sharing the gospel. The only true life change that can happen in our world today, in our community, in your neighborhood, in your life today, is that of Jesus Christ, and that is the work of the church, to share the gospel. To not only share the gospel, but to live the gospel, to be the gospel of Jesus Christ. How are we going to do that? Oh, first, by loving God with all of our heart. Remember what we just said about spiritual maturity, about being counted in our personal worship? If we're not loving God with all of our heart, it doesn't matter what we do in this room today. And loving all people as Jesus loves us. Well, great, you love God with all of your heart, but there's just some people you don't like. We got to love all people. We got to live according to God's word. And then we all have to be fulfilling our personal work that we have as followers of Christ. What do we see in our core values? We see that we're family. And what does that mean? You see it up on the board every day or every Sunday. It says family is an acronym that stands for faith in God through Jesus Christ. It means authenticity in all of our relationships. It says that we are all missionaries of the gospel. It says that we hold to the integrity of God's word, and that we have a love for God and all people. And then finally, we end it with, you belong. I mean, all these things are just come out of this passage in some way, either straightforward or is connected to it. Then we're called to grow. I encourage you to step up and be counted. Step up and grow. Step up and grow in spiritual maturity and devotion. And then to grow in, the next is in unity. We see that there is a, somebody's very important today. But we see that there is little church growth out of the unity. I mean, imagine that in this building that we just read about in Ephesians 2, that if the building was constructed just by piling bricks, this brick did what it wanted to, this brick did what it was wanting to. No, that's not how it is. There was a cornerstone. And that was Jesus Christ that sets the direction for the rest of the building. And so that is the unity that we are being called to live in. I tell you again, there's little church growth outside of unity in the church. Friends, we're not saved merely for our own benefit, but we are saved to serve Christ and to build the church. To build the church. And I tell you, the unity, I mean, think about John 17. I've mentioned that many times. And what we just read back in Ephesians 4, that it's that unity is the number one recipe for spreading the knowledge of God. I mean, Jesus prayed it, that we would be as one. Why? So the world would know that that God loves them and that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for them. The unity of the church. And guess what? We see in 2 Corinthians 5 or 10:5, we see that one of the things that the enemy comes against so many times and in so many ways, he comes against the knowledge of God. How does he do that? One of the main ways he comes against the unity in the church. Don't we see that? Because and that is something that as a church that we growing in spiritual maturity, growing in devotion, growing in unity. You know, there is I didn't bring it with us, and I don't have our covenant memorized, but I think it's number 3 or now number 4, where it talks about the covenant that we have is that we would be patient with one another, that we would love each other even in the midst of our faults. One of the things you've maybe heard me say privately is we talked about something that, hey, when I get perfect, I'll expect you to be perfect. And we won't be there. And there's this love, there's this forgiveness that's got to be exhibited among God's dwelling before it can be exhibited outside. And then finally, we see in verse 21, we see the concept of multiplication. And then so number 3 is step up and multiply. You know, and look in verse 21. It's talking about building the temple. Well, how do you grow as a holy temple? Will you add more bricks? There must be more bricks added to it. And the word here that is literally means build together with. And if I may speak to some folks who are like, well, you know, maybe we don't want to grow. We like our small church. Well, that's not, doesn't line up with God's word. It just doesn't line up with God's word. He is building a holy temple, and by doing it, he's changing the hearts of people. He's building lives, and each person that is saved, he is adding them. Wherever you read it in Scripture, Acts 2, we were just there, all through Acts 10, Acts 8, we can look all through the Word of God, and we see God is wanting to add to his church. He's wanting to build it. We are called to multiply. How do we do it? Again, that word that literally means, that build that we just read, it means build together with. Build together with. Build together with the Holy Spirit, and then build with one another. And we do that by, A, being intentional. Being intentional. Again, being a follower of Christ is not an aimless walk in life. Being a follower of Christ is intentional. And next, it is to be relational. It is to be relational. Everything begins with loving God and then loving other people. Building together with, not a Lone Ranger faith. But 2017, may it be a stepping up to be counted, stepping up to grow, and stepping up to be multiplied. And what is the final product? Are we trying to build a bigger church organization? Absolutely not. But what we see in this passage is the aim or the result is growing the holy temple of God. Building the place where the Lord dwells, which is found in the hearts of people. If I may speak to, and I don't mean to hurt any feelings, but if I may speak specifically to, we've heard the comment of in the church, it's not just a church, it's any volunteer or organization where you got 20% of the people do 100% of the work. And I think I messed that saying up. But if you're among the people, the 10%, the 20%, however you want to do the math, if you're the one and part of the one that's you whenever things are late and everybody has left and we're still working doing different things, whether it's special event, whether it's after church or whatever it may be, many times one of the questions you have is, what can I do more? That blows my mind. And not that they ask that. I appreciate that. But is that more people aren't asking that, especially when it comes to the things of God. And what if you're among those 20%, what we need for you to do is multiply. And that's not what I think. That is what Scripture tells us to. It's called discipleship, making disciples. If you're among the people who are doing everything in the mission of this church, I don't need you to do more. I need you to find somebody who is seeking God and who is hungry for the things of faith, and for you to spend, whether it be 3 months or 6 months or a year, and build a relationship with them and mentor them to where they grow up to. And they're going back to number two, I think it was A, it's growing up as Christians. And then you pouring into them and teaching the things that you know, because there's going to be a day that you may no longer be around and the things of your generation are going to be lost. I need you, the 10%, the 20%, I need you to build a relationship with somebody who is hungry for the things of the faith, and you pour your life into them. We don't need you to do more. We need you to multiply and then teach them to multiply. Because then we got two of you that are serving the kingdom of God. Then we'll have four of you serving the kingdom of God. And then after that we'll have, I'm doing my math, would that be eight? And then there'll be like, I don't know, eventually it turns into a lot. That is the way. That's the example that we have with Jesus Christ. In closing, and then we'll have a baptism. Are you among the faithful today? If not, I encourage you to repent and believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. Are you among the counted today? Then I encourage you to hold fast to your faith one day at a time and faithfully obey God, even in the minute details of life. If you are not, I ask you to prayerfully take the next step, whether it be whatever God has for you, baptism, membership, whatever it may be for you, serving. Are you growing today? I pray that if you would pray for God to challenge God. As Patsy shared, I encourage you to challenge God, and I tell you, He will show you where and how you need to grow. Let me tell you, there is something that we see the example of Christ, but in the small group, if you're not a part of a small group, I encourage you to find a small group. If there's not a small group here that fits your need, then let's talk about starting it. Well, what if I fail? Well, then we'll try again. And we'll learn from those lessons that we have. But I tell you, when it comes to spiritual maturity, spiritual growth, we see those people who are a part of a small group do grow spiritually in a greater way. I encourage you to become of a part of a small group. And I encourage you in spiritual service. That there is something that you have been given a gift. You have something that God desires for you to do. And not that I desire you to do, but there is something that God has you to do. It's called a gift of the Holy Spirit. That means that's when the Holy Spirit, who we just read about in Ephesians 2, he lives and dwells in us and desires to work through you in the body of Christ for in a certain function. You have that function. I may not have that function, and other people don't have that function. You are a brick in the building of God, and you have a purpose. And if you are not fulfilling your purpose, friends, there is a weakness. There's no greater way to grow as a Christian, whether being in a small group or then also allowing the Holy Spirit to work through you and what He has called you to do. And next, for the unity, I encourage you to forgive. If there's something in the past of our church that has hurt you in some way, or maybe not this church, maybe some other church, or something in the way of faith, maybe it's even a family member, somebody that's not even a church, maybe it's a coworker, somebody who doesn't even know God, and they've made fun of you in some way, or your family has hurt you in some way, I encourage you to forgive. And I encourage you to pray and guard the unity of the church. It's the one thing that the enemy is coming against. It's the one major thing that the enemy is coming against. He's coming against the knowledge of God. And the church is responsible for sharing that knowledge of God. And again, if you're among the faithful, again, we don't need you to do more, but we need you to multiply. In just a moment, as Rhonda and Tim are coming, I'm going to pray. I encourage you to challenge God on any one or many of those. And then as Rhonda is singing, if you would like to talk or pray, Ron is going to be right over here. If you would like to talk to him, he'll pray with you right now. If you'd like to pray, we can set up an appointment and talk about things. But friend, don't let today, don't let 2017 come and us just wander aimlessly. Oh, we are citizens of heaven. And that has meaning, it has purpose. And the purpose that we have, it will affect lives forever. Forever. Our purpose is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there is no other greater mission to be a part of in all of the world. Let's pray. Father in heaven, 2017, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would challenge us, Lord, where to step up. Lord, where shall I step up? Lord, where would you have me grow? Lord, how would you have me multiply? Lord, spiritual maturity, Lord, what are some things in my life that I can do differently? Lord, in devotion, Lord, what are some places of weakness in my life? Lord, and how can I be a part of the unity in the church? Father, thank you for considering us and allowing us to be a part of what you call your dwelling. That we can be a part of your temple. Lord, we don't completely understand what that means, but we do understand that you love us and that you desire to be a part of our lives. And may you be glorified today and every day after this, Lord, as we all step up. In Jesus' name, amen.